So the other day, I'm getting a bunch of messages and emails. You've got to see this. You're not going to believe it.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, for those of you that know me, for those of you that have listened to this program over the past 7 months, for those of you that remember the weekend show over the past 6 years, anybody that knows me from my work and my ministry knows that I'm one of those individuals that strive for accuracy and proof and facts, and I try to limit my conjecture. It's just a better way to live. It's a better way to function. It's a better way to, quote, do business. Now, in saying all that, I truly recognize that we live in a very perilous and changing time. I've been saying that since this program began. And during that time, I have seen one... Okay, I'm going to use the term, and don't hold it against me. Don't read it the wrong way. I'm just going to use it for the sake of using it. I have heard one conspiracy theory per se after the other. Many have a ring of truth, and some yet have to be proven. Others sounded rather, well, enticing, but over time they fizzled out and were proved wrong. One of the things that I try to do with this radio program and podcast is to give you what the title says, Truth to Ponder. Now, we will share from time to time some headlines and stories from, I guess, can be described as alternative news sites. And I urge you to do your own research. Just don't take some of the things you may hear said on this program, even by me, at 100% face value. Do the research on some of this for yourself. The reason I want to start the program this way, there's a lot of stuff that gets out there on the internet, especially in these last 10 years in particular. It wasn't so bad 10 years ago as it is today. 10 years ago, companies like Facebook were just starting. They hadn't saturated the United States, Canada, Europe, and, 2 billion people around the world. They were a startup. And most people hadn't got into a whole lot of political debating at that time because, it's new. When I first started using Facebook, I did it because of the job that I had at the time. And there was a good thing about Facebook in those days. I connected with some long-forgotten friends from high school and the radio industry, college. And it was kind of neat to reconnect with people I hadn't talked to in 20 and 30 and 35 years at that point. So there was a good thing about social media in the early days. But over time, too much of social media has turned into a political kabuki show, all political theater. And there are all kinds of theories and conspiracies that are out there on both sides of the political spectrum. One of the things that I understood early on with the power of what this medium could be, including, and I was never impressed in the early days with Twitter, and I said, even though I've used it for a few years, honestly, I know President Trump used it, but honestly, I just didn't see a need for, 200 and some odd characters of little tiny mini rants with nothing behind it. It was kind of like a drive-by shooting, as Rush Limbaugh used to call it. It just, you make your little noise. And I'm thinking, this is designed for minimal minds. you know, most people that use it just use it to espouse a quick something or other. The president used it effectively, President Trump, as a way to get around the mainstream media. But in the end, toward the end of his presidency, his account got pulled. And over the past year, Twitter has been exercising their muscle to decide what you're allowed to say, what they consider the truth. And if you don't abide by their rules, they're going to throw you off. Facebook has been ramping that policy up for about a year now. It's getting to the point that if you just want to share a link in a private message sometimes, they'll block it. I mean, in a private message, as fake news, even though I may know full well that what this alternative news site is actually saying is true, and I know it from firsthand experience, Facebook has decided what is and what is not the truth. This has created a whole new cottage industry, actually two very unique industries we need to be careful about. Number one, there is a fake news industry on both sides of the political spectrum. You need to understand that immediately, right now. There is a fake news cottage industry on both sides of the political spectrum. From the side of the left, what they do is they plant stories that the people on the right believe that are oftentimes not true. And that is done, and it's an old playbook. It's been used for over 100 years. This is nothing new. If you want to defeat an enemy, discredit him. Just totally discredit that individual among the general population. Think about the United States for just a moment. You may think we are divided 50-50, Democrat, Republican, leftist, progressive, and conservative. It's not really that way. It's not really that way. There are only a small core on both sides that are thoroughly up to speed on what their cause truly believes. That includes a lot of people that think that they are conservatives. They don't even know how to espouse all that they think they believe. They can't. They tend to be, and there's nothing wrong with this, don't get me wrong, a lot of people tend to be a bit of what we would call a reactionary. And that is, you know, there are some things from the past that are better than some of the things that are going on today, and that's very true. Some people may call that narrow-minded. I happen to think that sometimes things that are proven, things that are true, things that are right, should endure. And you don't change things that are right and true just because you want change. On the side of the left, they believe that the old norms, we're talking about the core. We're talking the committed core. And I'll explain what I think makes the committed core. The committed core believes that we must fundamentally destroy the Western world as we know it and rebuild it in a totally different model. That means your freedoms, the way you shop, the way you're allowed to worship, the way you're allowed to do anything in this world, because we have to worship the planet. That's part of it. It all begins with a incredible level of planetary worship. We worship the earth, not whatever created the earth. The earth becomes our new god, and we then as individuals become our own gods, our own, shall we say, royal earthly priesthood, for lack of a better term. And so that's what's on the extreme progressive left. In the middle are people that just lean one way or the other. They lean one way because they believe in equality. There's nothing wrong with equality. but they believe, because of what they've been told, that only the progressive left is truly the agent of improving equality. Though that be a lie. But it is so well sold that many of our younger people in particular thoroughly believe it. It has been sold to them from the time they get to kindergarten. First, second, third grade. Share your stuff with Tommy over there. It's not fair that you have better crayons. I mean, this is where we are. And then it continues in middle school. And with social media, it just amplifies and speeds up the process. Both parents working. There was a term that came out about 30 years ago. And it always bothered me then, and it still bothers me to this day. You remember the term quality time? Yes, you know, my husband and I, we both work, and we put in a lot of hours. We're really trying to build our careers and our future, and we'd like to have a nicer house and a newer car. And yes, I know we have both of our children in daycare, but we try to find on the weekend a few hours of quality time and maybe a little week vacation in the summer. Quality time is replacing the quantity of time that children need. And this is a lie that was perpetrated a generation ago. And so what happened? We've had generation after generation of children that are raised by everybody really but their parents. They're raised by the daycare. They're raised by grandparents part of the time in many cases. And then they are raised by the schools. And by the time many of them leave high school, their minds have been thoroughly brainwashed into a single ideology. Now, many that may go to work immediately after high school, some of them start to change their mind a little quicker. But those that go on to a college or university, it becomes even deeper entrenched, all about this wokeness, all about social justice, all about racism, all about critical race theory, all about unfairness, all about now the new term, white privilege. We can go on and on and on. And all these things serve to do only one thing, and that is to keep us perpetually divided. I said it on one of my programs last week, that Jesus says a house divided among itself cannot stand. And so, the enemy will keep everybody perpetually divided. The pandemic is a great example. Those that were smart enough to figure out that every time Dr. Fauci opened his mouth, he was changing what he was saying week by week over the 53 weeks now since we started flattening the curve for 15 days. We're now in 53 weeks, forget 15 days. Dr. Fauci has changed his mind over and over again. He has moved the goalpost. The man has become a buffoon. I don't care. I don't care what kind of doctorate you think he has. He's not a doctor in my mind anymore. He's a bureaucratic buffoon. He's been entrenched in a bureaucracy with a $450-some-odd thousand-a-year paycheck, highest paid federal government employee, and he's been doing some pretty strange things prior to the pandemic that are just getting to the light of day now. We'll be maybe talking about that later this week, just a little bit. We've had this man on our TV sets, in our social media, and he's changed his mind week in and week out. And somehow this time when he says something, it's right. If anybody watched some of the, I'm not going to play it now, but if anybody watched some of the hearings from the U.S. Senate last week, it kind of proves my point. The man is condescending, yet he's allowed to change his mind faster than I change my socks. yet whatever he says is always true. Well, the man has been saying so many things that have proven not to be true. We've all heard the story about crying wolf. Well, this is the problem with Mr. Fauci. He's been crying wolf differently every day for 53 weeks. And I'm trying to think in my mind, when has he ever had it right? Maybe you can think of something, and if you do, let me know, because I'm sitting here trying to think, when did he ever get it right?
Oh, we can't do this within 3 years or 5 years, and no, it's not theater. You know, I wear two masks, and I've had the vaccine. It doesn't make any difference. You got to wear a mask probably till the end of 2022. I don't know.
The man needs to retire or be fired, one, because he's been an abysmal failure and a total embarrassment. Out of all the states that did poorly in the pandemic, 5 states really are standouts for doing a horrible job. Michigan, oh yeah, they did a terrible job. New York, New Jersey, yeah, Pennsylvania, and California. They're the 5 states that when the recommendations came out early on, before Fauci and company started, you know, moving the goalpost, the ones that defied some just simple logic had, quote, the worst results. The ones that were pragmatic and the more common sense they used, the better their results. Look, you know what happened. The 5 big states in defiance to Donald Trump, California, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, a lot more people were infected with this virus in nursing homes. That's where a lot of these people died. They didn't die falling. They weren't 30-year-olds walking down the street all by themselves, and they weren't tackled by a coronavirus and killed on the street. They were people in their 80s with compromised health issues that any kind of a virus or a flu could be deadly. And yet they were forced to congregate with those that had flu-like symptoms and could have potentially had Corona 19. Once again, we now know that so many of those tests were false positives, but I did a little bit of research. Go back 4 or 5 years. You'll find there have been some really bad years of the flu where incredible hundreds of thousands have died. Yeah, we didn't shut everything down. We didn't throw people out of work. We didn't shutter their businesses. We didn't haul people off in shackles and chains and handcuffs for violating some stupid, idiotic governor's order to shut your business down and just go bankrupt and accept it and just get with the program. We don't care if you lose your house, your business, your savings. We don't care if your kids commit suicide. You must obey. That's Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, California, New Jersey. You must obey or pay the price. Little tin horn dictators. We live in a world of deceit. We live in a world of deception. And we also, and this is the point, it took me a long time to get here, and I apologize from the beginning of the show. Many of us who call ourselves Christians, many of ourselves that try to be rational, we recognize that we are living in a very precarious time. Of course, the world has always been on the edge of a very precarious time. World War II was not the World Series. Millions of people died. Millions died. Countries decimated. Look over history of the past 2,000 years. Name me a period of just wonderful peace and everybody getting along. No no sorrows, no trials, no tribulations. Name me an extended period. There are none. One of the things that makes us different today than even 50 years ago is our instant communication, satellite 24/7 communications, and the internet. Let's go back to 1960s. Young reporter, who's turned full tilt leftist now, but young reporter in the 1960s, embedded with troops in Southeast Asia in Vietnam, Dan Rather, for the first time in our history, brought the Vietnam War into our 23-inch color television screens. And people started seeing it for what it was worth, and they began to rebel a little bit, saying, we're not sure if we really want to be involved with something like this. That communications, we didn't have that. In World War II, even the Korean conflict, all the newsreels that you saw, all the reports you heard on the radio, anything for the most part you read in the newspapers were, well, shall we say that they were approved by the powers that be. For the first time in the 1960s, all bets were off. Technology could work faster than sensors, and there was nothing much they could do about it. Life changed. Our world changed. I've lived through that time of change in my life. I've seen it firsthand. So when people share things with me and they say, this is it, Bob, this has got to be the end. This is it. You know it. This fulfills this verse of scripture. If I seem a little skeptical, a little slow to respond, it's not that I'm ignoring it. Let me analyze it carefully. I shared something on my personal Facebook page with some of my friends just to see what their thought process would be. Others have shared it with me as well. We've all heard of a company called Amazon, haven't we? You know, Amazon is a unique company in the fact that they started with little and now they are probably the biggest retailer. They do it online, though they do have some stores now. And they try to be cutting edge. And they have a new product that they're launching. Ironically, it's not all that new, but everybody's saying, you got to see this video. I'm going to play you the audio for it in just a second. It'll give you an idea. It's a biometric recognition. Ooh, are we talking, could it be? And so this biometric recognition, what is it? Is it what you think it is? Could it lead to that?
This is Zoe. Just like you, she uses lots of different cards and IDs to get through her day. What if all Zoe needed was herself? Introducing Amazon One, a free service that lets you use your palm to quickly pay for things, gain access, earn rewards, and more. Let's say you're grabbing your favorite coffee beverage, or heading into the office, or checking out. Just hover your palm and you're on your way. It's as easy as that. Sign up is free and takes less than a minute. All you need is a credit card, your phone number, and your palm. That's it. Since your palm is unique and can't be lost or misplaced, you can get things done quickly and securely. And with more experiences on the way, Amazon One will help you get even more done, simply by being you. Now, Zoe has more time to do what she loves, indoor skydiving. Enter, identify, and pay with Amazon One.
Okay, I know that's just the audio track for a one minute little video, a little cartoon video put out by Amazon for their new idea called Amazon One. Now, what is Amazon One? It is a palm recognition scanner. In other words, everybody Everybody, like our fingerprints, we all have a unique palm print. And the idea is, if you want to, you know, make life convenient at an Amazon store, you know, you can sign up, and instead of having to carry a bunch of credit cards, like they say in the beginning of that thing, or the inconvenience of cash, you can go in and just put your hand over this little, you know, little eyeball, and it reads your palm. And it goes, "Oh, that's Zoe, the gal from the commercial. Sure, you can check out now with your Starbucks coffee and your whatever, and it'll be just charged to your account." And the idea is, you know, it's a moneymaker. Look, Jeff Bezos is less about being, a new ager as he is more about making more bucks. It's just like there comes a point of greed. When is enough enough? There isn't. And so they picked the palm recognition over other technologies, like what's already been out there for ages, face recognition, because of some privacy benefits. They say the one reason that the palm recognition is considered more private is because you can't determine a person's identity by looking at an image of their palm. Okay. Now, you know, they'll tie that together someday. You know that. I know it. It's all pre-planned. But see, here's what's bothering me a little bit. Everybody's saying, "Here it is, Bob. This is the mark of the beast." Okay, it's the beast. This is 666. It's going to be tattooed on your head now. And I'm going, "Whoa, let's step back just for a moment. Is this truly the mark of the beast yet? Is this the only way? If it's the only way to shop at Amazon, phooey, then I won't shop there." But I mean, you know, what I'm saying is, I'll tell you what I believe it is. It's two things. Our technology is beginning to move at a faster pace than our ability to absorb, understand, and control it. And we're allowing our greed to let technology begin to control us. A few weeks ago, I talked about 5G. A lot of people get all bent out of shape, and they have all kind of theories that 5G is going to be a magic ray to control our minds. And with the and we're going to have all kinds of things put inside of us that are little miniature electronic cells and robots that will infiltrate our brain, and they'll wait for the 5G order to do. I don't buy any of it. It's ridiculous. It wouldn't even make it in a grade B 1950s sci-fi movie. I'm a little bit more pragmatic than that, and I'm not a denier either. I believe the day is going to come that there is going to definitely be the mark of the beast, and you'll know it. You will know it willingly. Let me just back off one second here. I'm going to add something from a theological point of view. Many years ago, I had somebody early in my ministry ask me a question. They had read in the Bible about what's called the sin against the Holy Spirit. And that is the one sin, according to Jesus himself, that cannot be forgiven. And somebody came to me with a worried look on their face and asked me, "Pastor, I wonder if I've ever committed the sin of the Holy Spirit, which means I can never be saved and I'm not going to go to heaven." And I looked, I said, "Wait, just stop right there. If you had committed the sin of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be here asking me if you had. So, no, you didn't." That's one way to clear the air. The book of Revelation is not there to give us a perfect roadmap. It does give us the signs of his coming and the seasons, as Jesus says. And maybe we put so much worry into our eschatology that we are not even, you know, of what's going to happen in the future, the not too distant future. We're doing very little in the here and now. I'm going to take a break. And, you know, I'm telling you, Amazon, as far as this whole idea of reading your palm, whoopee. They've been reading our fingerprints for a long time. I was in the armed forces. They got my fingerprints. I worked for a sheriff's office. They've got my fingerprints. There's a lot of things that companies and our government have had about us that we don't even think about for decades. And reading your palm is not so much the mark of the beast, but I'll tell you what it is as we go to the break. It's the beginning of a conditioning of how we do business. Now, people like me who are baby boomers, we're not as inclined just to roll over and go with every new technology because it's sitting out there. But I'll tell you where the danger is. Those under the age of 40 that have been only educated in our public education system and our woke, worthless colleges and universities, they're blinded. And they just have this starry-eyed look. Ooh, how convenient. It's one step closer. One step closer to submit to what anybody tells you to do without even thinking about it. Without giving it a second thought. Listen, I can remember sitting, listening to a radio program, and this has got to be 45. I was in high school. And it was a radio program that came on late on a Sunday night. I was going to bed. I used to play with my little AM radio, like kids do, looking for something to listen to. And I ran across this blowtorch radio station out of some other state, had some screaming preacher on it, talking about credit cards. Do you know that credit cards are the mark of the beast? If you have a credit card, you have accepted it in your mind, and you're using it in the right hand. It is the mark of the beast, and if you have a credit card, you are going to go to hell. I can remember listening to this. So if I seem to be a little slow on jumping on everything that must be the mark of the beast, it could be. You think it is? If you take it, if you do that, will that be the end of you? I'll tell you what I think right after this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Sons of the Gods. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now the Hebrews were surrounded by all sorts of pagan peoples, and the pagans had all sorts of mythologies. Most famous of mythologies are that of the Greeks. Greek mythology tells of supernatural beings who were children of the gods. For instance, there was Hercules, the son of an earthly mother and the god Zeus. Then there was Perseus, the slayer of the monster Medusa. He was the son of the god Zeus and the woman Danae. And then there are many others. Now, of course, it's all myth. But the amazing thing is that something even more supernatural does exist and is true. The Bible says that those who are born again are children of God, not of the gods, not of a God, but of God himself, children of God, children of the living God. That's a lot greater than being a child of Zeus. What an awesome thing it is to be born again. In mythology, the children of the gods were considered to be supernatural beings. So in reality, the children of God are supernatural beings. In mythology, the children of the gods were often given supernatural powers. In reality, we as children of God do possess supernatural powers in the spirit. The children of the gods were often considered to be heroes, doing great exploits, overcoming great odds and colossal foes, saving the day. So we as children of God are also called to be heroes and to overcome great odds and great foes and save the day for real. What a high honor we have. It's true. In the new birth, you're a child of God and by his spirit, more valiant than Perseus, more strong than Hercules. Live like it. Because it's no myth. Want more? Ask for the butterfly's child. Now, if somebody offered you a gift of $1 million, what would you say? Well, here's something better than $1 million, something that'll help give you a strong and victorious life, a free subscription to Sapphires, vitamins for your spirit, and the incredible mystery of the temple doors, all free. You'll love it. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus's Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. So I invite you to join with me in the harvest. You don't need a plow, just an open heart and a pen, and you can reach the unreached peoples of the world. Just call now 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. That's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend and Messiah, Ben Elohim, the Son of God.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to part two of today's edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, if I didn't lose any listeners from the first segment of the program, I guess I should be considered blessed and fortunate. But I hope that some of you are listening and thinking carefully. Let me tell you why I say a lot of the things that I do, and some of you may disagree, and that's okay. You don't have to believe everything I tell you at face value. I am not some kind of prophet sent down from God. I'm just a pragmatic person that tries to sift through the nonsense and try to distill things down to a level of understandable truth. I do not believe that God intends for us to live in a vacuum and not have any way to be properly informed, and we shouldn't be living in fear. Those are just simple things that we need to begin to understand. The enemy of our souls will sow discourse and misinformation and fear all around us. If we spend too much time reading the book of Revelation and not enough time sharing the gospel, then the enemy is won. The enemy is won. While we do need to spend time studying the book of Revelation and other prophecies and other things that Jesus said, this should not be the sum all and the total of the things that we are concerned about. I've got a short letter here that was written to me over the weekend, and it really answered a prayer of mine. I want to tell you something. By the way, God is still in the business of hearing and answering prayer. But there's some things that have been happening in our personal lives, my wife and I, that are very detailed and deep, that only God could work out miracles, and He has. So believe me on that. We serve an almighty God. Never think that we don't. If you are wondering what the name of the program is, it is Truth to Ponder. If you want to know where the website is, it is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. I try to do a no-nonsense program. I try to give you information. And last week was a really hard week. It was probably the hardest week for me to produce 5 radio programs. I didn't think I'd make it. There were many times I sat down to start, I couldn't finish, I'd have to erase, start all over again. It took me 2 or 3 times longer to get through last week than it normally should, and it's bad enough when it's a good week. I had many a sleepless night. Besides the things in our family that God was working out, I'm also trying to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, if you were listening on Friday's program, you heard me discussing a lot of things without getting into a whole lot of detail, that I really am looking at the ministry that God has given me and this radio platform. What should I do with it? You know, I don't need to be another one of many or hundreds of other voices you can find in a podcast or any other radio program or online. I don't need to be duplicating the work of other people. Of course, it's not a bad thing to share some information that I think will give you a different perspective. bring on guests that may challenge your thinking. Nothing wrong with any of that. But what is the real purpose of doing a radio program like this now? And I think, praise be to God, a letter to this program came in as an email from someone that I've gotten to know because of this program. And I had made the statement on Friday that I feel that there's a change in the air. Jesus is got work for us to do in this field ripe for harvest. And my heart is saying, I don't need to be doing what so many other people are doing. There's plenty of that out there. I don't need to be another voice, you know, especially like a podcast. You know, there are thousands and thousands of podcasts doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. What makes mine any better or any different? Maybe you like my voice better. Maybe you like the production music better. I don't know. But I'm called to be a servant of God's word more than I am called to be, you know, an end time newscaster. There needs to be a balance. And this guy writes a letter, and it just, you know, he heard the program on Friday. And he wrote back, and it was like, thank you, Lord. This answered a lot. And I'll get into what's where we're heading to over the next several weeks on this. And he writes, and I'm not going to give his name or city, but he writes, yes, Bob, the direction needs to change. News is fine once in a while, but there's no point going over the same ground over and over again. And I'll add another over again. Then he writes, the election was stolen. COVID pandemic was planned, choreographed, and perfectly executed. The bulk of our citizens have been turned into zombies. The illegals are legal. Everyone can vote as many times as they want, as long as it's for a Democrat. The military will be neutered, and the list goes on and on. There is really no stopping this because there is no longer any honesty in the system. And no, the military is not going to put Trump back into office in April. There'll be no court trials, no military tribunals. Nobody's going to be sent to Gitmo over the spring break. Then he writes, so what have I forgotten? I'm trying to think. Yeah, the mark of the beast from Amazon, you know, whatever. But here's what he writes, and this is the crux. This is the takeaway. If I didn't lose you in the first part of the program, listen to me now. This is what he says, and I agree. So we must now prepare spiritually and provide for the physical safety of our families as best as we can. This requires, here comes the word, practical knowledge, common sense, proper guidance, and good, sound Bible teaching. And he closes with, you have your work cut out for you. You're right, I do. This program started as really kind of a countdown when the Lord laid this on my heart. I'll be honest. I thought maybe I'll do this program. I've been doing a weekend show. It was hard enough finding a time by Wednesday or Thursday to get it out to the radio stations by Friday and Saturday, and as a podcast by Friday sometime. It was enough work doing a one-hour program per week. And I've been doing it at that point for about 5.5 years. And I really believed, and that's why for the longest time, I still own the domain name, yourweekendshow.com, in case it ever went back to being a weekend show. Or if I decided to keep the name Truth to Ponder, it could be just a weekend show too. Didn't make any difference. And I really thought this was going to be a countdown to the election. That's what I felt. To expose truth before the election. But you know, I was looking back at some of the programs from prior to the election, and I can hear some of the things that I said, and thank the Lord for his inspiration. While everybody on the conservative side would say, look at the size of the Trump rallies, man, he can't lose. My heart was saying, don't count on it. And those that listen would say, if, I would say to them, if Trump should win by some miracle, you know, don't count on anything if he should win. We are just buying a little time before the inevitable. All we're getting right now, if you want to be intellectually honest as a Christian, the world has always had times of trials, tribulations, and persecution of people of faith, period. That goes without saying. It goes all the way back to the apostles' time. From the day of Pentecost going forward, it was never easy for any of them. And most lost their life for sharing the gospel. It took hundreds of years before the Roman Empire stopped killing Christians for sport. We in the United States have had it easy, so I get really, really upset. Oh, it's really a rough time. This must be the Great Tribulation. I'm sorry. Maybe America needs to have a little tribulation for once, because it doesn't know what real tribulation is. And if anything, we've earned it. Our mainline churches are an absolute disaster. Theologically, morally, they're bankrupt. They're gone. They're dead. Nothing but dead, reeking carcasses wearing fine vestments, giving the word of Satan and calling it the word of God. And maybe that's one of the blessings of the plandemic, shutting down all the churches. Maybe those woke churches will die and go away and stop being the frauds that they are, the New Age frauds. I have no use for them. I have it as God. Jesus said to them, you know, in that day, oh, we did all this in your name, Lord. Oh, we even did signs and wonders. There's a guy I know that's a very, how do I put it, almost a Satanist, but he has the stigmata of Christ, the little scars in his hands, you know, they talk about. I'm telling you, we're in a time where God is separating the sheep from the goats. Who are you? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? I look at the book of Revelation, and there's no way that I could ever do a teaching on the book of Revelation in an episode or two or three. It's not going to happen. I can point out some things you need to know from the book of Revelation. But we can't be focusing all of our time, at least for this radio program. Maybe you need to get yourself in a Bible-believing church or fellowship or group where you can study that when you have the time, but not at the expense of doing the work that God called you to do. This is where I'm having issues. We are not supposed to run to the hills every time we think there's something going on that the book of Revelation said is coming. There are people back in the 1960s and early 70s that probably heard that preacher talk about a credit card and took their Sears and Roebuck card and cut it up so it wouldn't be considered the mark, and hope that God didn't notice that they had the mark of the credit card or Sears and Roebuck or the beast, whatever. We need to put our emphasis into the things that the apostles talked about. The book of Revelation is given to us to observe the signs. Jesus said, the times of the seasons, observe them. And we will. But we're not going to do it in such a selfish way that we're not getting the work of the kingdom done. I can't be spending all of my time going forward any longer. We will spend some time with the news and headlines, and I'll be very selective to make sure that you understand why they are important. And I'll continue to remind you of how this pandemic was misused and abused, numbers altered, narrative created. Yeah, the world, here's the problem. I don't know how much of this, if they planned for it to be as far-reaching as it was, but I'm telling you that governors like Cuomo, Whitmer, Wolf, Murphy, Newsom, the love of Christ is not in them. It's not, period. And so this feeling of godlike power that they suddenly had with this pandemic was too irresistible for them not to slam down with some stupid requirements that had no basis in science. Yeah, we heard a lot about follow the science. I mean, think about this in just the past months. The Washington Post wrote, some studies indicate that mask mandates and limitations on group activities such as indoor dining can help the spread of the coronavirus. But then they go, but we don't understand why states with greater government-imposed restrictions have not fared better than those without them. Oh, well, well. The science was bogus, or the New York Times. The origin of the 6-foot distancing recommendation is something of a mystery. Almost like it was pulled out of thin air. It was pulled out of something someone thought about in the 19th century, not even understanding what germs and viruses were. It was just a guess. Compare blue states with red states. It goes on and on and on to the point of being ridiculous. I'm looking at a chart. I wish I could put it right in front of you. Comparing all the Midwestern states. Those with lots of restrictions were done in blue. Those that had less were done in red. And you look that the red states did better than the blue states. And these are all similar states in terms of size and everything else. Just the governments were different, like in Michigan and Wisconsin and others. It just goes on and on by the governors. All this stuff we did, maybe some of it was given initially in good faith. A lot of it was not. A lot of it got misused. And the more they did, the more they shut down, the more power they felt, the more good they thought they were doing, and they accomplished nothing but economic destruction and making it possible. And I will say this, and I don't care what Facebook or Twitter says, to make it possible to break the law to steal an election and calling it for our own safety and good because of the virus that may kill all of us as we walk down the street to drop off our ballot.
And that's all I had to say about that.
So here's the bottom line. This program is going to keep giving you news and information, but that's not all we're going to do. I don't need to be dwelling on all the bad in the world. I don't need to be identifying every New Age philosophy, every potential mark of the beast thing that may come down the road. I think it'll be evidentially clear as we get into these times. What I am telling you, and I think this should be clear to all of us, the United States has never had a time of such persecution against anything good, honorable, and holy. There's never been a time before where the idea of the Christian faith being considered hate speech and needing to be shut down by social media. We are at that door right now. We're crossing through it. We're going over that threshold each and every day. I watched how it ramped up in just 1 year, in the last 2 or 3 years. I never would have believed that I have to think about where this program as a podcast may have to go, because the day is going to come that the regular places that I'm on is not going to be available. But I tell you what I'm not going to be doing anymore. This is not going to be a beginning to end 1 hour period of time where all we do is talk about the bad. There's got to be a solution of what to do. We can talk briefly about the news, but if I'm not preparing you, if I'm not equipping you, if I'm not giving you something you can actually do, then what good is a radio program? A couple of other things my friend had shared. You know, instead of just commenting and being a rant on the news, focus on preparation, physically and spiritually. We have to. We need to understand how we're going to be living. You want to know something? There's a guy that runs a social media site, Free Speech. It's called Gab, G-A-B. And this guy that runs it is a young Christian, and he has faced more grief than you would care to understand. Many banks will not process any contributions and the things that they sell to help pay their, you know, you got to pay the servers, and he's got his own. He's not relying on Amazon like Parler did. And so it makes it more difficult because every time he tries to do something, the PayPals of this world and some of the banks, well, I've heard some bad things about you being a conservative. You know, you believe in some of this conspiracy stuff, so we don't want to process your cards or anything. But increasingly, we as Christians will have to find a way to say to Twitter, we don't need you. Facebook, take a hike. We don't need you. As long as you feed the beast that's out there, as long as you are encouraging them, they're going to just keep clamping down on you. When they think that they've got you as their slave and servant because you were in Facebook jail for a week or 30 days and you want to be a good citizen now, just tell them, phooey, I don't need you. Bye. Don't buy into it. Don't make them think they're important. They feed on that ego. You're filling their ego up when you believe that Facebook is so important that we can't live without it. Guess what? I live fine for 55 years of my life without Facebook, and I'm sure that I can live the rest of my life without some of the stuff there. Yeah, it had its purpose, but now it's been invaded, taken over by the woke world. Just like some of the churches I mentioned before. They've been destroyed by the woke world. They've thrown out the gospel. They preach another gospel that is not another gospel, which means, according to St. Paul, they're an anathema and they should be shunned and avoided. Get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. Maybe it's that problem we have in the church now. We are not willing to get out. We need to look at public education for what it is. Satanic indoctrination in many places now. We got to get our kids out of it. We've got to build Bible-believing churches and communities. Doesn't mean we got to be like the Amish, but we can't be so engrossed in the things of the world any longer. So I need to help you with this program to guide us through some uncharted waters for many Christians that are too busy worrying about the things of this earth. We're going to pick up this discussion tomorrow. Do you believe in the work that we're doing here at Truth to Ponder and the direction I need to take this program? Yeah, we'll still share some news, but I think it's got to be the good news of the gospel, what we can do, what God has called us to do. He's called us to be in this world, but not of it. We have to stop being of it. Go to the website, truth2ponder.com. You can help us from there if you'd like. If not, you can also write a check made out to Ancient Word Radio. You can send it to 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, our little secure box, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, and the zip code 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.